And indeed, it is another great morning on a morning machine, a machine that makes your mornings move. Thank you so much for making a machine a part of your daily morning routine. And part of that morning routine means great friends, great stories, and great art as well. You know, it's about the art. And I will say this, though. She really needs no introduction because she's been here before, but it's been a long time coming, and 2024 for the Morning Machine has been really about bringing our most iconic and greatest guests back to the stew, because home is where the heart is, and we've got a lot of love for this sister right here at the table. But before I say who it is, I got to give you some background for a second for our new listeners that did not catch us in 2020, right? That's right. I said 2020, because now we are 5 years in, and this Detroit native, the D, stand up, raised here in GA, African-American visual artist, from painting to photography. All of the visual arts, you name it, she has done it. Started her own photography business as a junior in college in 2015. And then, later that same year, she began painting. And I'll tell you about the painting that's getting dropped off. And it's just so phenomenal. Right when we get to the end. We're going to save that for the end. But I'll tell you this, we are really an advocate for the arts. If you've ever come to our studio, you've seen a lot of fine paintings on our walls here, and we're about to add another one to our wall, which is just absolutely phenomenal. And so I say with gratitude and so much love that my sister is back in the stew where we do what it do. It is the art painted and shot by the lady, Lauren Gray. Good morning to you.
Good morning. Wow, that was a great introduction.
Well, you
know. I feel so touched.
You know what we do here. We've been doing this since 2020. We are 5 years in, and with us being 5 years in, it's been about that long since you came here. Yeah. You were one of our first-year guests on the Morning Machine, and it's been a while. So now, you know what we got to do. It's time to catch up. But for the new listeners out there, I do this with every guest now. I like to take it back to the old school. I like to take it to Union Square. I got to rewind all the way back to the D.
Okay.
So, when you were growing up, what was it about the arts in your community? Because Detroit is a great art city as well. A lot of cities are in there deeply in tune with their art. But it's cities like Detroit, Philadelphia, you know, that do the mural art and, you know, different kind of artscapes in different lays of the land in any city. Mm-hmm. But what was it about you growing up in the D that made it to where you developed this passion for the arts?
Yeah, I feel like I come from a family of creatives. Like, my mom, she's very creative. She was an entrepreneur my whole life, and I watched her, you know, spend nights on end, like, just having to create stuff for her business, and she used to make me and my sister's clothes. Like, she just, she used to sew all of our outfits. We had matching outfits. My sister, she's like 2 years older than me. And so I came from my mom, who's, you know, very creative, but I also had an uncle who was a photographer. And my granny used to just support all of my creative abilities ever since I was, like, as long as I could remember. She used to have me draw for her, and she used to have me write books. I used to write books, actually. She used to have me write her stories and stuff, but she gave me my uncle's camera. It didn't work, but I still used to use it, like, because it was a film camera. So I learned how to, like, focus and stuff like that with that camera. And then she ended up buying me one that worked. So I feel like coming from that family of creatives really established my little art abilities. And also just the city. Well, the city back then when I was growing up, it was very... still recovering from the riots, you know? Are you familiar with the riots?
Yeah.
Yeah, so from what I can remember, the city back then was, like, a little run down, tore up. But it's getting better now. They doing a lot to recover it now. So now I could see, like, when I go back, all the art and stuff, the murals and stuff like that. Now I'm really, like, paying attention. But even when it was run down and stuff like that back in the day, I used to love photographing it because I felt like that was beauty in its own.
There's always beauty in the resurgence.
Yeah, yeah.
And I feel like those are scenes that you ended up capturing
mm-hmm.
at that particular point. You know, hey, we had some issues, but we can learn from these issues and we can research from these particular issues that came about.
Yeah.
And you captured that in such a way that really transformed the minds of the community. So what was it like for people to see your work and to be able to see the transparency of it all through your work?
Man, I really wish I knew where those photos were. I really feel like I took a lot of them on the camera that didn't even work. So, wow. But lately I've been doing a lot of travel photos, and so I like capturing different cities and stuff, just the essence of the cities and their architecture and stuff like that. But it's been so crazy that I don't have any pictures of Detroit or Atlanta, which is ridiculous. And so last time I went up there, I tried to go get some shots of the city while it's like resurfacing, you know, because they're really doing a lot to repair the city right now. So that's really what I'm working on right now, actually, is getting some more pictures of the city, because I don't know where all those photos are. I feel like they were lost with that camera that I was taking them on. So I gotta redo it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, this is the best time to redo it mm-hmm. as the resurgence is happening mm-hmm. because there are so many changes that go on in different communities everywhere. And you be the one to capture it in a manner that a lot of people wouldn't even think of.
Yeah.
Like, you'll go to either that person, that place, or even... Well, hey, maybe one thing that you may capture, it may be in black and white, it may be in color, that will really transform somebody's mindset about your city, the city you grew up in, or any city. A lot of people have stigmas about cities and
especially
what they went
one.
Through. Yeah, yeah. Boy, like, for my city, I hate to say it, but they call it Killadelphia.
Ooh.
For Chicago, Chicago is another city where there's a certain stigma, but there's also great sides to it as well.
Yeah,
and,
which really sucks that they'd have all these stigmas, because, like, Chicago... I grew up thinking Chicago was, like, very run down, very much like Detroit. But I went for the first time, like, 2 years ago. I'm like, oh, this is beautiful. This is even, like, I feel like it looked better than here. Don't hate me, y'all. But I felt like I was really thinking a lot about that when I went to Chicago. I'm like, the stigma really does it a disservice, because this is, like, a really beautiful city. Same for Detroit, you know. And I need to go to Philly next.
Yeah, you do. Absolutely. You'll find a lot of murals on the walls in Philadelphia. Yeah, so
my
every
favorite.
Neighborhood, there's a mural of somebody. And... You're going to see that usually murals you would think of more up north culture, like a Baltimore or Chicago, where they had row houses and you have a whole canvas that is pretty much larger than life, we can say. Ooh. And it's just absolutely amazing what you'll see there. But I will ask this, though, because, like I said, it's been a long time since you've been here. As mm-hmm. I said, home is where the heart is.
Mm-hmm.
So we know that in 2015 you started business, yes. and then you started painting right after that. Mm-hmm. So what was the hardest part in your journey of learning how to do both of these things, and how did you overcome that?
I would say my hardest part so far has been just finding my audience, because my paintings are very unique, very vibrant, and a lot of people are more so looking for something simpler these days, and with like a drier color scheme. Mm-hmm. But there are also people who really love my stuff. So I would say just finding my audience has been like the most tricky task with doing this business when it comes to selling my paintings, I would say. With the photography, it's so many photographers in in Atlanta.
I'm
like,
tell you that.
Yeah.
Yeesh.
So it's just finding a way to set myself apart from all these other photographers, mm-hmm. To make sure that I stay booked and busy.
You talk about a saturated market. Yeah. This is a super saturated market.
Yeah, like you can find anybody to come take your photos, especially
your
nowadays.
Neighbor has a camera.
Okay. Anybody, and then most people, like parents, they'll use their phone or something instead of booking a photographer. So just, you know, finding a way to set myself apart from all the other photographers and really just finding my audience to with my art and stuff. But I will say it's out there. I have found it. It's just, you know, I have learned which markets and stuff to go to and which to not go to, pretty Indeed. Much.
There you go. Mm-hmm. And, you know, learning that over the years has helped you to elevate your craft. And
yeah.
The thing is that you've been here so long
mm-hmm.
that, unfortunately, and this is why we bring you here today,
mm-hmm.
the reason why we're catching up so much is, oh, no, you're about to go. Why?
Yeah.
Why are you moving? Why move from the ATL, this black Hollywood where, yes, the market is saturated with photographers, but we don't care. Everybody's getting a shot around here.
Yeah.
In very equal opportunities for the black community.
Yeah.
So why are we moving back home?
You know, I've been in Atlanta 20 years now.
20 years?
20 years.
So you've been here since you was born?
Pretty much, like, since I was 9. I'm 29 now. So I was already thinking about moving back home a couple months ago, just for a change of scenery. You know, all my family is up there except my mom and my little sister and my mm-hmm. stepdad are here. And so I was just thinking maybe I need to just go be around my family for a little bit. But then about a month ago, I had a little episode, which is, you know, I'm glad we're talking about this to bring awareness. But about a month ago, I had two seizures in the same week. The first one, I didn't even know that I had it because I live here by myself and I was just home alone, didn't even know what had happened. I just woke up and I saw a bunch of stuff was knocked over in my studio, and I thought I was like sleepwalking or something. Honestly, that happened on a Monday. And then that Saturday, I was in Michigan with my sister at my sister's house, and she heard me making like a little groaning noise in the room, and she came in, and I was unresponsive, and so she called the ambulance, and I was in the hospital for like 3 days, and then they diagnosed me with epilepsy. And so the doctor was like, I need to move back to Michigan to be closer with my family, to closer to family so they can keep an eye on me, yada, yada, yada. So I felt like that was confirmation from God that I needed to move to Michigan because I had been praying about it beforehand. And then that happened. The doctor said I needed to go. So I felt like it was confirmation. So I'm moving back home to be closer to family so they could keep an eye on me and not so just to be closer to family. So I'm 29, being diagnosed with epilepsy. I never would have ever in my life thought that this was going to happen. Like, I honestly still can't believe it. I'm going to get a second opinion. But the doctor said that it's common for some people at my age to get diagnosed with epilepsy. He's saying that it's genetic. Yeah, I just never would have thought that this would ever happen. So, that's what's happening. I'm leaving on Friday in a couple days.
Yeah. And you know, it's sad to see you go, but then again, still health is wealth. And, do you find this to be one of your biggest challenges yet at this particular point? Because this, anybody finding that out, or any health, any health challenge that anyone finds out, especially in the African-American community, we have a lot of thoughts running through our mind, which may stress us out, which may do a lot of different things. There may be things that we are even thinking that may not even be true about what you're dealing with.
Yeah.
So first question is, did it scare you?
And this is so scary. I mean, just the fact that I had the seizure at home on Monday and I didn't even know it was scary in itself, because I don't know what happened, and I could have hurt myself, you know.
Right.
But the second one was scary too. It's just like, how did I have two seizures in 1 week and I have never had a seizure in my life? So this is probably one of my biggest challenges I have faced yet, definitely, because ever since this has happened, the doctor told me I can't drive for 6 months, which is crazy. Like, I'm a very independent person, so having to rely on people is just crazy to me. And I had to get on the MARTA the other day, and I tried to ride the scooter back home from the MARTA. I failed and skinned my knee.
So
I'm trying to save up my every penny because I'm about to move across the country. So that's the reason I got on the MARTA and the scooter. But other than that, you know, I can't drink no more. It's just, which I wasn't really a big drinker like that. It's just, it's a big lifestyle change. I'm working remote now. So yeah, just having to adapt to all of these new changes has been challenging for sure.
What has been the first thought on your mind since the diagnosis? Because as I was saying just a moment ago, we in the African American community, we tend to overthink our diagnosis a bit and its symptoms, its side effects if we were to have to be medicated or what have you, or what type of holistic regimen do we need to be on in order to help keep this under control, if not get it away from me. What were the things that were running through your mind as far as your self-care moving forward?
You know, like you said, we're Black, so like I said, I want to get a second opinion just to make sure. I just need
be misdiagnosis somewhere. People get misdiagnosed.
Yeah, I just want a second, you know, a second confirmation, and then I'll believe it. just all this medication. Now I have to take 7 pills a day, which I wasn't taking any medicine before this.
Wow.
And so 7 pills a day is a lot to me. And so I have been, just looking up, like holistic ways, because I know there's got to be another method instead of taking 7 pills a day, and I'm not trying to do that for the rest of my life. Mm-hmm. So I have been just trying to find another holistic method that'll help me treat this epilepsy. As soon as I move, though, I have more time to focus on this, because I really have had to plan this move in 30 days.
Yeah. It will definitely change the course of life's journey and the life's marathon in a flash of an eye and the blink of an eye. Yeah. And, you know, if you 30 days is really a blink of an eye. You really only have a calculated 4 weeks tops, maybe 3.5, if that, to get ready and move all your things. Find movers if you're doing the move, if you're doing the mover thing, or you know, U-Haul, all kinds of stuff, and then actually doing the work to get it out of there in a timely fashion, so that you're not driving all night or you're not doing all of this strenuous work. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, it's a lot of logistics involved in transport. And I know we had off-air conversation that I went to school for transportation logistics. This is transportation logistics, people. There you go. Yeah, no matter how you slice it, it's transportation logistics.
Yeah, it's a lot to handle.
It is a lot to handle. And now it's interesting that you say that, because it segues into my next question. Does this health challenge, even potentially, we know you're getting a second opinion, and once you get that, does that fuel your extra drive into getting back into the photography and really getting into the painting? And I ask this because we've talked about my younger brother, Jared, who is also Jackson Gemstones Art. He had been diagnosed with something, and it further fueled his passion and drive to elevate on his artwork and his visual art. So does that do the same thing for you?
Yeah, life is too short, man. I got to make as much art as possible, leave my legacy here on this earth so it can live long after I do. So I feel, honestly, I haven't painted all year, which is, this is the longest I have ever gone since I started painting without painting. So I've been running a sale lately. I'm selling all of my stuff. I'm not really trying to move anything besides boxes and stuff. So I'm selling all of my furniture, and I've been doing a sale on my art, a name your price special. So by the way, y'all follow me on Instagram, Art by Lauren Gray, and check out the special that I have going. So since I've been selling the paintings and stuff like that, I have had to touch them up, which has made me get back up my paintbrush. And so now, ever since then, I've been fueled, you know, to just kind of take my art to the next level. It's given me just all kind of ideas on stuff I want to paint as soon as I get moved and settled. So I stopped painting, honestly, because I had so many paintings and I needed to sell them. I didn't need to make any more, because I usually paint every day, like every night. So I needed to sell some more before I made some more. And so now that I have sold some, I'm ready to go. I'm ready to create as soon as I... And I wonder, you know, how I feel. Like, maybe I'll feel different when I get up in Michigan, and my vibe will be different, make me want to create some different stuff. So I'm just excited to see what's going to come about, what's all my new creations will be. And then, you know, I'll have to go to Michigan and find new models and stuff like that. So I'm excited to see what type of photo shoots come out as well.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And interestingly enough, I always speak into existence. Every guest, I speak something into existence on this program. And like I said, we've been at it 5 years and we've been speaking people into existence, speaking things into existence, pouring into our family and our friends, right?
Mm-hmm.
Let me pour this into you. You get to Detroit, your canvas will become larger.
Mm-hmm.
And that larger canvas is mural.
Yeah, that's big on my list, my to-do list.
You haven't done a mural before?
I've done a mural, like, inside apartments, but never, like, out on a building. So that's, like, big on my list when I get up there. Because there's so many, like, you know, there's still a bit of abandoned buildings down there. But artists have been doing murals to, like, you know, just
beautify
make it. Yeah, beautify it. So I'm, like, I'm about to go up there and just find me a building to paint and then go from there. Like,
absolutely. Find your canvas. And, you know, there's a lot of cities that will, every city pays for their murals.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't pay small money either.
Mm-hmm.
They don't pay small money for a large canvas. So just letting you know now that I'm speaking to existence that it's going to come soon, probably by the end of the year. You're gonna have a mural. See, it's April. It's April now, but you're gonna have a mural.
Yeah, I received that.
You are gonna have a mural, and I can't wait to where you're having a press conference about it, being the mayor and all the elected officials of the city of Detroit will be thanking you for your work, and I'm gonna be like, I spoke that. Let me bring this recording back out, just like we did Sherelle Parker, 100th mayor of the city of Philadelphia. We gonna do that same thing. I'm gonna bring this clip out and tell you, hey, we spoke this into existence for you way back in April, and it'll be dated. It's documented, and we have that because we know the level of greatness that you exhibit.
Oh, thank
you. We don't just bring anyone here. We bring people of greatness through these doors and, you know, to sit in these seats. So
I already
know what's coming.
I appreciate that.
Yes, indeed. No, we appreciate you. And we appreciate you more for the phenomenal piece that you brought here to us today. So describe the piece. You can't see it. You'll see it on Instagram after the show. But describe the piece that you have brought to us here at The Situation today.
Yeah, so back in 2020, I had to do a art show called The Atlanta Renaissance, and she asked us to create some new pieces for the show. And so this piece I created here is called Atlanta Renaissance, and it has like a group of, you know, black individuals in the center, and it's surrounded by a swarm of neon colors. And so my take on that is, in Atlanta is full of black excellence surrounded by creativity, you know, wealth, entrepreneurship. Everybody here is networking, whether it's for their business or love, you know. You know, so I felt like we have our group of black excellence surrounded by just a swarm of creativity here in Atlanta, which, you know, is really beautiful in itself. So I felt like I'll leave that here with y'all for the
awesome
Atlanta Renaissance.
Awesome. And you know what? You didn't just pick that by happenstance, by the way. Because this had to be carefully picked.
Mm-hmm.
When you describe Atlanta Renaissance, what you're saying to me is the Atlanta Renaissance included us here at The Situation of black-owned, black-operated excellence that we've been operating for so long. And this, and we share stories of black excellence, and we shared your story transparently even way back when. And to even be able to come here and do this now, this is a powerful piece. When you say Atlanta Renaissance and then you carefully pick this for The Situation as us basically symbolizing us being a part of the Renaissance.
Yes, you get it.
That's black excellence right there. And I'm glad that you I'm so elated, and I can't even describe what I'm feeling right now, because to know what that means to us as a brand and as a station, that means a lot. That we are a part of the building of an Atlanta Renaissance.
Absolutely.
And, you know, we're never counted out, but people will try to count us out.
Mm-mm.
But we know where the excellence is, and all the excellence comes through these doors. We produce winners. Even our black elected officials come through here, and they're as transparent as they ever have been on a radio interview, because we want them to transparently tell their stories and also speak on the community initiatives.
Mm-hmm.
And you, through your art, through your visual arts, are a community leader.
Aww.
And I want you to understand that as you embark upon your journey transitioning from the ATL back to home is where the heart is, right?
Mm-hmm.
The D. Detroit. I love Mason. I love Mason. I've learned from him through even the distance. We never met each other, but I love Mason. Like, Mason is my guy. I don't care what anybody says. The Pistons PA announcer for since the championship years.
I started watching the Pistons in 2004.
The championship year. I see that? Got her. Yeah. She
like,
stopped.
Who is Mason? No, that makes sense. Okay.
No, but Mason is a radio legend in the city of Detroit, or even beyond being a Pistons PA announcer. So, you know, but if you weren't into radio and broadcasting, you may not know that unless you listen to him frequently and on the daily when he was doing a lot more in radio at that time.
No,
so
I gotta show love. When I get up there, I'm gonna definitely pay attention.
You need Mason to introduce your mirror. That's what I'm gonna tell you that
real.
Right there. Mm. Either that or let me fly up there. I got you.
Okay.
Cause I'd do it on the fly.
Okay.
Have me fly. I've never been to Detroit, by the way. My cousin lived in Dearborn. Born for ages. Matter of fact, she still lives there now. I think she's in she may be in Farmington or Auburn Hills, possibly.
Okay.
So she's still up there. Shout out to Crystal Cullen and the kids. But yes.
No, we're gonna make that happen. You come up there and introduce my mural.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It can't be any other way. But we also gotta make sure that you are, you know, we speak life into you, because you've got so much more ahead of you, and proud we are of you.
Thank you.
And how proud you should be of yourself.
Thank you.
Because you continue to go at it regardless of the challenges that attempt, yes, I say attempt, to stand in your way. But you keep kicking down them doors with stiletto heels. That's
Somebody told me long ago that your gift will make room for you. So, nothing can stand in the way of your gift. You just got to keep, like you said, keep kicking down those doors, pushing through. Staying motivated for real. Staying hungry. You got to stay hungry. That's a big thing I have had to tell myself. Don't get too comfortable, because then you get lazy.
And you just covered my final question of the advice. That was sound advice that you just gave to all of our listeners, young, old, medium age. Don't matter what age you are. You just gave a gem to Radio Land. And I thank you so much for doing that. And once again, tell everybody where we can find, follow you, connect, support you.
Yeah, everybody check out my Instagram and Facebook, Art by Lauren Gray, Gray with an A. My website is artbylaurengray.com. Y'all could go online, purchase some art, some prints, book a photo shoot, all the above. And just, you know, follow me to stay tuned with what I got going on. And I'll follow back.
Yes, she does. Yes, she does. That I guaranteed she follows back.
Yes, I do.
That I know for a fact, and I've known that for years. Yes. And she stays followed. Just don't put no crazy stuff on it. She might unfollow you. So don't get yourself unfollowed, because she'll rock with you as long as you're rocking with her and you ain't posting no crazy ish on your timeline. Other than that, I will say this though. Safe travels, safe move, and most importantly, be well, my sister.
Thank you so much. Okay? I appreciate you.
Don't cry on my program. Don't you get emotional on my program.
Nah,
you're going to get me now, all right?
I really appreciate you for bringing me back up here and just showing love. Thank you, Rob.
Of course. Yeah. Brother Rob always showing love every single time that we do this. And you can't get rid of me even if you tried.
Oh, no. Coming back to Detroit.
Even more than that, I can get you at any time. We got StreamYard. You can
Ooh.
Do the interview from home.
Okay.
So we can still have you on as frequently as we like. We just got to do it from a distance. That's
okay.
all.
I'm
while
down.
You're in the D. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But
I know that. I'm down for whatever.
Absolutely. And that's why we bring our great people home. Because home is where the heart is, and you at home in Radio Land, you are about to get some music right now as we close out right here on the Morning Machine. Let's go.